Bhutani. All the bodies of the living entities. Taitahi. Their own respective. Nijayoni. Causing their own bodies. Karma bihi. By past activities. Bhavanti. Appear. Kale. In due course of time. Na bhavanti. Disappear. Sarvashaha. In all respects. Na. Not. Tatra. There. Ha. Indeed. Atma. The soul. Prakritau. Within this material world. Api. Although. Sitaha. Situated. Tashaha. Of her the material energy. Gunahai. By different modes. Anyatamaha. Most different. He. Indeed. Vajate. Is bound. Translation. Every conditioned soul receives a different type of body according to his work. And when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. Although the spirit soul is situated in subtle and gross material bodies in different forms of life, he is not bound by them, for he is always understood to be completely different from the manifested body. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Here it is very plainly explained that God is not responsible for the living entities accepting different types of bodies. One has to accept a body according to the laws of nature and one's own karma. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that a person engaged in material activities should be given directions by which he can intelligently apply his activities to the service of the Lord to become free from the material bondage of repeated birth and death. So karmana tam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. The Lord is always ready to give directions. Indeed, his directions are elaborately given in Bhagavad Gita. If we take advantage of those directions, then in spite of our being conditioned by the laws of material nature, we shall become free to attain our original constitution. Mama eva ye prapajante, mayam etam tarantite. We should have firm faith that the Lord is supreme and that, if we surrender to Him, He will take charge of us and indicate how we can get out of this material life and return home back to Godhead. Without such surrender, one is obliged to accept a certain type of body according to his karma, sometimes as an animal, sometimes a demigod, and so on. Although the body is obtained and lost in due course of time, the spirit soul does not actually mix with the body, but is subjugated by the particular modes of nature with which he is sinfully associated. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord and becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. Okay? Bhutani taistani jayoni karma vir bhavanti kalena bhavanti sarvashaha natatrahatma prakritavapistitas Tashakgunaranyatamohivajate. So, Om Ganatamadandasha Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun and Medikam Yenatas Bhai Shigurve Namaha. So, the first line here, one receives a body according to different types of work, and when the engagement is finished, the body is finished. So, what type of karmic chain is being described here? The present body. What is that technically called in the karmic chain? Anybody know? It starts with a P. You don't know. Anyway, that's all right. It's called prarabdha karma. You understand? So in the Nectar of Devotion, these things are elaborately described. There is a whole chain of events. The first thing is the kuta. Kuta means like the inclination. think we spoke about this before. There's kuta, and what comes after kuta? Does anyone remember? Okay. Kuta, bija. What is a bija? The seed. It's a seed of desire. So kuta is the inclination to enjoy the material world. And bija is the seed. And it's interesting, we also have the description about Brahmanda Brahmate Kanna Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Lata Bija. So there's the Bhakti Lata Bija, and there's also the Karma Bija. So it's interesting. Karma Bija. So after the Bija, there's the inclination, then you have the what's called the karma, the activity itself. Mm. And then when you have the activity, you have after the activity, you have the reaction that's not yet fructified, and then the reaction that's fructified, which is the Parabdha Karma. And then from the sinful activity, one also gets another bija, which is, so it's like a chain, a vicious circle, so to speak, that you perform sinful activity, and then you get more desire or a seed of more desire to perform more sinful activity, and it continues on and on and on, again and again and again. So one has to really cut it off at the root, actually the kuta, but even the bija you can cut it off. Just like we have in the mind, there's thinking, feeling, and willing. So it's better to cut it off at the beginning rather than when it actually gains some momentum, like a snowball effect. You understand? Snowball? You roll a snowball down a hill and it gathers more and more momentum and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Or jayatovishyakpum samasanglastesyapajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krota bijayate. The one contemplates, it gets attached, and then does the activity. And, you know, then there's lust and there's anger and all those other things that come from that particular interaction. So let's go back to the bija thing. So there's bhakti lata bija, and then there's karma bija, and there's also jnana bija and other bijas too. So those bijas, those sinful seeds come about according to Krishna Bhagavad Gita. Karanam guna sangasya sarasa janma jonisu. And Prabhupada talks about that in the purport. He says that there's something here. The modes of nature. He mentions the modes of nature. I don't have the exact citation right now. So according to one's association with the modes of nature, karmanam guna sangasya sarasa janma jonisu, one gets a particular type of desire, or bija, or inclination, or seed of desire, and then one reacts in such a way. So the solution to this whole type of thing is to get your bhakti lata bija. But the bhakti lata bija is only given by a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like we were talking about before, if one hears the holy names, or hears the name of God from someone who is not Krishna conscious, then sarpochistiyatapayam, the example is given, sometimes it's like milk mixed with the venom or the poison of a serpent. And so you get other bijas. Or, as sometimes described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, weeds. You understand? Weeds. So you have the bhakti lata bija, but you also have these weeds that are growing at the same time because they're coming from a bad association that you have. You have to be very, very careful. I mean, just like, let's take the example of Ajamil. Ajamil was a nice young man, and he just associated by seeing Shudra and Ashudrani embracing each other. I mean, that was his mode of nature. Just by that association, he contemplated on that association, and then what happened? He later on accepted that Shudrani, or lady, or whatever they call it, as his girlfriend. He got rid of his regular wife, engaged in sinful activities, mistreated his father, took all of his inheritance and squandered it. And luckily for him, he chanted the name of his youngest son, Narayan, at the time of death. And he was saved as a result of that. So there's just like a little instance of how, by bad association, a bad bija can become implanted in the heart. Just like when Lord Chaitanya said,
that he was a gardener. So just like when you're growing plants and everything like that, some seeds can be blown over, even unawares. You can be unaware of it. And it can be blown over from the neighboring field. It's like I was reading about this with genetically modified plants. There's this company, Monsanto. You've heard of Monsanto before? They're one of the biggest seed companies, or maybe the biggest seed company in the world. So what happens in India is that people are growing something called heirloom seeds. You know what heirloom seeds are? No, you don't know what that is. That means the original seeds. Heirloom means like something that passes down, you know, from your family and stuff like that. If you say it's a family heirloom, let's say you have a vase, a Ming vase from Japan or something, which is your family heirloom. So you have the seeds that are actually, you know, the original seeds that came before science interfered with everything. And so in India, they're planting these original seeds in one field. And another field, they're planting these Monsanto GMO. You know, GMO, you know what it means? Genetically modified organism. It's really heavy, genetically modified. It's like Frankenstein. There are people, yes, people are playing like Dr. Frankenstein. You know that story? You ever see that movie? Comes out with like a spike in his throat and everything. You never saw that? You should go see that. So anyway, so that people are making the Franken foods or Franken cotton or whatever it is, like this biogen. And you buy the tomatoes today, they have fish genes in them. So anyway, so that's another issue. So anyway, so this guy's growing GMO foods from Monsanto in one field. And actually what happens when people grow these GMO stuff, even though they think they're going to produce more than previously, what happens is the Monsanto didn't compute for all the diseases that were there in India, and then they lose their crops and they commit suicide. That's something that happens in India continually. But as far as the story is concerned, so he's growing these GMO crops. Next door, someone's growing the heirloom crops. Remember what I said about heirloom? Well, that's the original crops, that you don't really have to pay for your seeds. You know, that it was something Krishna gave you, and you don't have to give him money for it. So what happens is he's growing these heirloom crops, and some of the seeds blow over from the Monsanto crops. And guess what? Monsanto is spying on him, and they come into his field, and they say, "You're growing some of our crops." And what do? Take him to court. And the poor guy, you know, he didn't mean to do any of that. And the poor guy is like bankrupted because Monsanto is suing him for growing the crops without properly buying the seeds. It's terrible. I mean, you can read about that. It happens in India all the time. It happens in other places too, that, you know, the seeds blow from one field to another. And in America, we call them volunteer crops. You ever hear that before? That means you didn't plant them, but they volunteered. They came up. So in the same way, using that particular example, in the same way, we just don't mean something to happen or desire to arise in our hearts. And just, you know, we happen to be driving down looking at a billboard or hearing some song. You know, even inadvertently, even if you don't watch a Bollywood movie, but just you open up, just like I was in Fiji, you open up the Fiji Sun and see the Bollywood center section with a pull-out poster in the middle of the latest rascal. So, and then your mind just becomes contaminated. This material world is just such a place like that. Just like in the Vedic system, you have like contamination if you see a dead body, right? And so basically, everything's contaminated. I mean, and also there's the injunction that if a devotee sees the face of a non-devotee, he's supposed to immediately run into the Ganges and take a bath without taking his. Can you imagine that? You know, you would have to carry around a jug of Ganges water with you all day long, or keep your eyes closed or something like that. I mean, it's really important to understand the principle of contamination. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was first asked about what is a Vaishnava, Vaishnava achar, he said, satsanga chag, a Vaishnava achar. First thing about a Vaishnava, he avoids bad association. So But how can we avoid these things? I mean, we're going out in the world, you know, even I'm a sannyasi, but still, you know, I go out and, you know, and not out to the bars, of course. That's for all of you to do. But I go, but actually, one time I went to save a devotee. I went to a bar. This devotee had left the Krishna consciousness movement. He was a piano player at a piano bar. So, you know, he was playing like that. And he had like three or four girls sitting on top of the piano. Like you see in the movie. It was exactly like that. So I went in, and I was thinking, what am I doing here? And of course, as soon as he finished his set, he looked up and he saw me. He said, what are you doing here? So but sometimes we even have to go to these places. You know, airports and, you know, everybody. You can't really separate yourself. So therefore, we're having all these seeds from the other field, the Monsanto seeds, using that same metaphor, the Monsanto GMO seeds, you know, because they're, you know, not genetically modified, but, you know, karmically modified seeds, CAMO seeds. So having all these karmically modified seeds, like, you know, being blown into our consciousness. And so how do you deal with it? And so the way we deal with it, very simple, is having a strong sadhana, chanting our rounds early in the morning, and also throughout the day, hearing Krishna Katha, chanting. Like I noticed with Prabhupada, when I was with Prabhupada, Prabhupada would be chanting all day long, you know, under his breath. Even with in a TV interview, the person who was conducting the interview would ask Prabhupada a question. Prabhupada had his hand in his bead bag, going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, just to avoid contamination. It's like if you know you work in the hospital, you work with. That's contamination right there. You know, you just get. So you work in the hospital, especially. Bishop Jai was telling me that he had one patient who had HIV. Right, and so you have to be very careful, especially with the needle. I had one. One disciple was a nurse, and inadvertently she pricked herself with a needle. Now, fortunately, she didn't get it. But, you know, just it happens. Needle pricks happen, don't they? It's hard to avoid it. And so you have to be extremely careful and take all the necessary precautions in order to avoid getting all these diseases. Or some place there in hospitals, they have these isolation wards where you put a mask on your face. And after you leave, you have to just take off your gown and throw it on in the bin. They have that here sometimes. You have to be very, very careful. Actually, when I go to hospitals, I usually have someone else push the elevator keys for me. I don't even touch the doors. I'm very careful. I take it, you know, Navadweep with me or something. He's like, you touch the doors. You touch the elevator buttons. I'm not touching that stuff. And I go into someone's hospital room and said, please sit down. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not going to sit down. I like to stand up more. Because I'm afraid if I sit down, you know, there's all these, like, stuffed germies on the seat. And so, I'm actually very conscious. Not that I have something like mental disease. You know, like a, what is it, obsessive compulsive? Oh, there's another one. Yeah, obsessive compulsive disorder, isn't it? OCD, you know, that's paranoid. Well, it's called obsessive compulsive, where you keep washing your hands, and, you know, you're worried about dirt and everything. But just being practical, you know, I just don't want to touch anything because there's germs everywhere. Yeah, so there's another one.
No, it's the walk-off. All right.
So, I guess even with three or four people, we got mobile phones going off all the time. Can you imagine if we had 50 people in class? It'd be a whole symphony. getting back to that point, so we really have to be cautious in this material world about that and really be strict in our Krishna consciousness. And also, probably mention one thing here. Spiritual education changes one's consciousness. So in other words, it makes the intelligence very strong. So even if one does have these inclinations to do things, It says, changes one's conscience so that one simply carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord, and in this way becomes free from the influence of the modes of material nature. So, another point, just one other point I wanted to add, it's almost time to end, is that pure devotees of the Lord are not only aseptic, that means they're not influenced by the modes of nature, influenced by any of these contaminations, but they're also antiseptic. There's a difference. Aseptic means someone who is something and is not contaminated. And antiseptic means something that can free something from or someone from contamination. So by association, sadhu sangha, with pure devotees, then this contamination, these karma bees, jnana bees, and all these other nice bees, can be eradicated from one's heart. And of course, by the process of Krishna consciousness, just one final thing, it fries the seed. So the seed can't fructify anymore. So even if you have seeds, they fry. You know, you fry a seed, you can't get a sprout from it. So that's the process of Krishna consciousness. So even if there's many seeds in one's heart, that works. And if one doesn't execute Krishna consciousness, even if one executes austerities, the seeds remain. So as soon as you stop executing the austerities, the seeds sprout again. I mean, an example of that is I've seen with some devotees think they can overcome lust by fasting. So they fast, and it seems like they are free from lust, but as soon as they eat food again, it comes out again. So the process of Krishna consciousness works as far as getting rid of these seeds, but we also have to be very cautious in dealing with the material world. It's not that we can do anything and everything, chant our rounds, watching Bollywood films or something like that. I have disciples who do that. Not that they listen to me, not that I tell them it's all right, but they chant their rounds and they're watching, you know, illicit activity at the same time. So they're cultivating creepers, karma bees, or jnana bees. They're cultivating weeds instead of the bhakti lata bees. You understand? If you're not alert, you can confuse different weeds with the bhakti lata bees. You know, the weed for profit, adoration, distinction, the weed for admiration. All these things grow at the same time as the bhakti lata bees, and they choke off the main creeper. So, anyway, any questions or comments? It's 7:30 right now. Yeah.
You gave the example of Ajamir. Sometimes it can be people can misunderstand that. Maybe the positive side, it shows the power of the holiness of the Lord by changing the believer. But because, like, we've been told that this Krishna consciousness is a practice for us,
yeah.
So that this is a practice, so at end of life, we can actually change the holiness of the Lord. So sometimes it can be misunderstood that. Like Ajamil, even though he did all the sinful activities,
he just needed a chant.
So
people think, well, you know, why do I have to change my life? You know, I can just engage.
Like at the end of life, I can just
chant Hare Krishna. I'll just.
But he didn't use all prior activities before he fell down.
Yeah, well, he had previous devotional service. So that came back. That's one point. Another point is that don't bet on it that it'll work like that. Because if you... That's actually... Because it definitely won't work because that's a deliberate offense against the holy name. See, Ajamil wasn't committing the offense on chanting. He committed sins on the strength of chanting. He wasn't thinking, I just chant and everything will be all right. But if you do that, you'll be thinking... Not you, of course, but obviously you wouldn't do that. But if someone does that, it's actually the offense on chanting. In other words, it won't work. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to do it. You won't be able to chant Krishna's name at the time of death. Another point is that Ajamil didn't go back to Godhead at that point. That Ajamil was freed from the Yamadutas at that point, and his life was extended by chanting Nama Bash. He did not chant the pure name. Was Nama Bash. He meant something else while he was chanting, which is his son's name, Narayan. Therefore, he again had to go somewhere and execute devotional service for quite a period of time. He went to the holy place, and I forget which holy place he went to, somewhere on the Ganges River. And then, after that, executing austerities, he became purified enough to go back to Godhead, back to home. So it's not that you can simply do that, no. But you still have to do your bhakti, you know, your sadhana bhakti, if you want to go back to home, back to Godhead. Yeah.
The other point with that story is
That's true. I mean, you can call all your children Narayan, Gopal, Nrisimha. You know, but Krishna will arrange. And if you're committing offenses on chanting with that idea, you know, calling all your children the spiritual name, calling your house, give your house the name Govardhan or something like that. Krishna will arrange that you'll say something else at the time of death. Yeah, you'll be yelling at your wife or something like that. And say, I hate you. And you won't even say her name, you know. And then back to home, back to hell. So, I mean, it's not that you can plan on doing something like that because it is offensive and it doesn't work. When you plan on committing an offense like that, it doesn't work. I mean, you become free from bad karma and everything by chanting the Lord's holy names, but if you commit sins on the strength of chanting, it just doesn't work anymore. Krishna will arrange that it's not going to work for you. Yeah.
For devotees who have not perfected their life,
yeah,
but just being serious, like, or by association, devotees have helped them to pass away by chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So then again, the story of Ajahn comes into play as well, that they have to take birth again and perfect their life.
Yeah, well, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad, Arjuna asked that question, in fact, in the Gita, and Krishna answers that there's two things that happen. One of two things, sorry. One is that they go to the heavenly planets. If they're not so advanced, let's say they just took initiation yesterday and they die today. So something like that. They're not so advanced. They go to the heavenly planets and take birth in a rich family in the earth planet. And they get it out.
They have chanted Hare Krishna before, the lost man before passing away.
Yeah.
Still there to the
yeah. To the or not. Well, Krishna says that. If they have a little advancement in devotional service, then they go to the heavenly planets. Prabhupada even said that about Jayananda Prabhu. If you read Prabhupada's letter about Jayananda Prabhu, that if you were very advanced, something like that, you'd gone to the heavenly planet, you'd take birth in a rich family. Little advanced. And if you're very advanced, you take birth in a family of Vaishnavas. And if you're pure, you know, maybe just that little lacking, or pure, completely pure, you take birth where Krishna's pastimes are taking place in the material world. And then you get trained up as far as your eternal leader.
My understanding is different, right? Because I thought, what Krishna says that by remembering me, that you will come to me. So regardless of whatever state of mind you are in, remembering in the end that you will go to Krishna.
If yam yam vapi smaran bhava nyajate yante kalevaram. So if one remembers Krishna with devotion at the time of death, then he goes back to Krishna. But if you remember Krishna in hate, and then you may get liberation. Like Shishupal, he was remembering Krishna at the time of death, and he just got liberated. He entered into the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, if you're remembering Krishna in hate, or if you remembering Krishna actually means to remember Krishna. It's not just that someone's chanting Hare Krishna next to you and then you're thinking of something else. You actually have to remember it. You have to remember Krishna.
Smaranam.
Yes. Smaranam, not Samaran.
Then the second part of the question is then...
That's why Krishna says in the Gita that one is very advanced. They take birth in a transcendental family, and then they get an opportunity to continue their devotional service. Once a little advanced, they go to the heavenly planets, they come down to the earth, take birth in a rich family, and get an opportunity. And Krishna says, such a birth in a family of transcendentalists is very rare. So those of you who have children should understand that, it's very rare to have taken birth in your family. And you've been given a valuable gem, a diamond, the person who's taking birth in your family and given an opportunity to help them further advanced. Or they may be Shaktivesh avatars. Because every parent thinks their kids are Shaktivesh avatars. That's a different thing. A ray of Vishnu, I remember there was one lady, she had several children. She thought all of her children were rays of Vishnu. It's not true. I said, sometimes you get a loser. I mean, what can you do? You know, you can't go to Las Vegas and strike it rich each time. So, I mean, it's like Advaita Acharya, giving an example just to prove my point. Advaita Acharya had 6 kids, and 3 were losers. You remember that story of the Chaitanya Charitamrita? 3 he rejected, and 3 he liked. Because the 3 who were rejected did not take up devotional service, so they were Mayavadis or something like that. So it's not, you know, you're not Advaita Acharya. And even if you were, you're still not going to strike. You're not going to get 100% batting average there. Are they your batting average here? You know, it's percentage like that. Like sometimes it's 0.300 or something like that. But nobody does 100%. Even Krishna. Now Krishna had his son Boma, and Boma became a demon, Bomasura, and Krishna had to kill him. Imagine, you know, your own son. You have, anyway, don't do that. But it's heavy stuff. What? You know, the last.
So you explained the Bhakti Lata Beej versus the Karma Beeja.
Yeah.
Both are seeds. So the Bhakti Lata Beej also goes through stages of.
Mm-hmm.
There's an inclination. So a spiritual master comes, appears in one's life, and then gives the seed, and then we act. So it goes through the same stages, doesn't it? A fruit.
Yeah, fructifies.
Fructified, you know, and then fructifying.
Ado Shraddha Tata Saru Sango Ta Bhajana Kriya, that whole. Yeah.
Is there a time factor as well? Just like in karma, there's a time factor for things.
Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on desire. But that Bhakti Lata Beej pierces through the coverings of the material universe and reaches Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna's, Radha and Krishna's lotus feet. And that's what we're trying to cultivate. And that's by the process of hearing and chanting from pure devotees. If you hear and chant from someone who is not pure, or at least they're following purely, then you get all these little other seeds, like we're talking about coming from the Monsanto side, GMO seeds. Like, you know, someone's a Mayavadi. I know the devotees listen all the, not all the time, but many times to people who are not Krishna conscious because they like the chanting that the person is doing. I'm not going to mention names. You know, people who are Mayavadis, they're Mayavadi kirtan people out there who follow different impersonal gurus. And the devotees, you know, I go into people's cars and they're listening to the chanting. I know they're listening to it because it's in the, it's on their CD, it's in their car. And then you get the other bees are there. Or the kuta, you know, the kuta of the beach are there, you know, the inclination. It's very dangerous because it's the modes of nature. And it's very dangerous. The heart can be affected, especially by hearing. There's a direct channel. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha. That's Ritkarna. There's a direct channel between the ear and the heart, according to Lord Kapiladev. So when you hear from something or someone that's not pure, then that channel, but it actually pierces the heart and affects the heart. So we got to be really careful. That makes sense? You got to go to work, right? Okay. Have a good day at work. Cure a lot of patients. Yeah.
Just a little bit more on that. I'm just a little bit confused about the time factor of, because Prabhupada said you can become Krishna conscious in a moment.
Yeah.
It does seem to
take time.
Krishna says after many, many births, what, you know, so there does seem to be a time, you know, process over time of hearing and chanting.
Yeah, one has to be practical, especially when dealing with other people. You have to give people the space and the time to become Krishna conscious. Yeah, it is a fact. It takes many births. In general, I've come to the realization, when I first joined the movement, I was thinking that everybody was going back to home, back to God in this lifetime. You know, it was a nice thought to have. And I thought that if I just preach real heavy to everybody, I can convince everybody to be a pure devotee. You know, so I was at one point I was a brahmacharya temple commander, and I was so heavy with people that if people wanted to sleep late in the morning, I would drag their sleeping bags under the shower and turn the water on. I played cartels by their ears if they were sleeping. and just, you know, just really get on their case for not being pure devotees. So, and then, yeah, and then also when I started accepting disciples, I thought, well, I can make sure they all become pure devotees real quickly because they'll all listen to me very nicely. But then I found out disciples don't listen to the spiritual master. I had this like unrealistic expectation that it was like the army, you know, yes, Gurudev, yes, Gurudev, whatever you say, Gurudev, I'll chant purely, I'll wake up early, Gurudev, I won't watch Bollywood films, Gurudev, anymore. I'm not going to eat food cooked by non-devotees anymore. I'm not going to go to restaurants anymore, Gurudev. Okay, whatever you say, Gurudev. No, but I found out it wasn't like that. It was Gurudev, whatever you say is nice, but, you know, I reserve the right to have a second opinion. It's like you go to a doctor, the doctor says, diagnosis, you know, you got an infection. He said, well, I'd like to get a second opinion on that before I get an operation. So I discovered how to interact with conditioned souls. It was a very educational experience for me. I discovered that, you know, people do have material desires. And so then I came to the conclusion devotional service is a multi-life experience, and therefore I should be happy if I can help someone advance a little bit in this life. So I changed my expectations for people. I mean, I just have to be honest about it. I change it to thinking, you know, if they can advance a little, you know, because, you know, you initiate people and you think, you know, they're just going to follow the four regulated principles. Prabhupada thought the same thing. When he first started initiating people, he was shocked and crying when people weren't able to fulfill their obligations, you know, for the first time. But after it happened again and again and again, it was just like deja vu. So it was the same thing, you know, being a guru means, you know, people think you be a guru, you got all these people serving you in a causeless way, you know, just like, Gurudev, your wish is my desire. You like have 1,000 Aladdin's genies serving you. But it's not, you're lucky if you have one disciple who listens to you. Of course, I have a few more than that, but don't want to insult anybody in this room. But but at the same time, you become more realistic. You say that, all right, you make this much progress, see you in the next lifetime. So then the whole question arises that about the guru having to take birth of the disciple doesn't make it. You ever hear that one before? So then you think, oh my God, what have I gotten myself into? You know, because the point is if you have to take birth again, then you get more disciples. And then it's a vicious cycle. You know, even if the ones you got from your original birth went back to Godhead, then you get more, and then you never escape from the material world. So then I got scared. You know, I started shaking when I realized that particular thing. I said, what am I going to do? Should I have a contract? The disciple, only this lifetime. You know, I'm not coming back for you. You know, just making a special pre-initiation contract like that, prenuptial contract. So then I actually understood that the guru comes back, but he can also send someone. Like the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, you know, at Chintamani. It was the prostitute, you know, who advised Bilva Mangal Thakur that, you know, if you were so attached to Krishna, you'd go back to Godhead, because Bilva Mangal Thakur had swum across a raging stream and grabbed a snake and dead bodies to get to see Chintamani. So Prabhupada said it was Bilva Mangal Thakur's guru speaking through Chintamani. So therefore we can understand that the guru, he doesn't have to physically come back. He can actually, you know, act through some other Vaishnava or some other situation like that. So that was a relief. Yeah, that's like we're here for Prabhupada. I mean, that's the way I see it. You know, I'm here to serve Prabhupada. So we're all part of the same family. You know, like you could send your son to do some service, or you can send your disciple or some other representative to do the service. Not that you have to go yourself. So that was a relief for me to understand. Otherwise, I would be eternal damnation, you know, which is what the Christians are afraid of. Yeah.
the desire. So the final thing is the desire, and to maintain the pure desire is association.
Yeah, that's the trick, the key. Association with the holy names, and also avoiding the satsangachagya Vaishnava achar, avoiding bad association. You want to stay clean, you avoid getting dirty. But sometimes dirt will be thrown at you. So you have to use the cleansing process continually. You know, whenever some thought comes, you know, I developed this habit when I was a brahmachari. Whenever some thought of something not Krishna conscious comes to the mind, you just start chanting on it. It's an automatic response. You know, the alarm bells go off. Like you're working somewhere, like in a nuclear power plant, there's some contamination. They go, beep, 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 beep. And then everybody comes out with their uniforms and everything like that. Beep, beep, and they come out with decontamination stuff. So it's the same thing that you have to be able to understand. You have to fix the goal of Krishna consciousness so much in your mind that when there's some, you know, dirt in your, or GMO seeds being thrown at you, to use that metaphor again, just Hare Krishna, you know, clear the mind out again. Because it'll happen. You know, you'll get angry, you'll get attached to something, you know, like me, I'll look at some computer and think, you know, I must have it, you know. I gotta go, Hare Krishna. I mean, at least that's my only attachment, basically. Not cars, I used to be attached to cars and other things. And now it's just electronic gadgets. You know, if it was up to me, I'd have thousands of electronic gadgets with me. Yeah.
Going back to the previous discussion we had about it, the economy which will not take you basically go any place like that. It's mentioned in the way that it's a situation you have a government.
Swapmapya Shadam Rashid. Try it,
Mahatma. There is no loss of diamonds in
the
country, but in say it once or more things.
Yeah.
So, that will not take, as you said, you might get good in a restricted family anywhere else. So, that advancement you did in your previous life will then again.
Yeah, you never forget it. It's, you take up from that point, obviously. Yeah. That's a standard point we make, that whatever, you know, 5% Krishna conscious, you take up from that point in the next life. So it's not that you have to start from zero again. There's no loss of diminution. Ananda, you had a question?
Well, then, if a person passed away for the Kriya, should we do 3 days or 13 days? If you do 3 days, then do you have to do Pindra Dana and all that?
That depends on what part of India you're from. There's different rituals for people in different places. Some people 3 days, 13 days. Some people's 21 days.
For devotees, I mean, we sign that just 2 3 days. I mean, so that
2 or 3 days is enough for devotee. Yeah, for devotee. And the best thing is, what I advise devotees is the best thing is that the family members can sponsor something at the temple. Like a puja in the name, not just at the person's home, you go and chant, which is very nice, but they should do something for the other Vaishnavas, serve the other Vaishnavas, or sponsor a day of service for the deities, like Radha Gopinath in the temple, or something like that. And that's the best you can do for someone is Vaishnava Seva. Yeah.
Sometimes we call the devotees, but actually wearing dhoti and kurta does not make one devotee.
No.
So what is in that case?
Well, you serve the devotee, or you sponsor. If you really want to do something, make sure you're doing the right thing. You just sponsor distribution of Prabhupada's books. You know, you buy 10 cases of Prabhupada's books and you give them out. I mean, that's the best thing. Perhaps that's the best thing you can do for someone who's departed. You know, you give charity of spiritual literature in their name.
And then again, it is so that there's an Arjuna, look to Pindota Kriya. That means if they don't do it, it's a sinna, or it might be in a disguise, it's a devotee. The Pindota Kriya.
The main thing is chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, the rituals are there in different cultures, but the chanting of Hare Krishna in this day and age is Ekon Dharma. That's the only dharma, really. I mean, we add a few little things, like we have the havan, the fire sacrifice, but really, like Prabhupada said, with the installation of the deities in Vrindavan, he said it was the Harinam Kirtan that installed the deities, not all these other rituals. So the best thing you can do for a departed person is just have continual Harinam. You don't need, and food distribution, other things, but you don't need to do the... I mean, people, you should do it if you're part of a particular culture, or else people will criticize. If you don't do it, then people will think we're a bunch of, you know, useless people, or, you know, we don't have any culture at all.
Because it is said that with the destruction of the dynasty, the eternal tradition...
Yeah, so you got to keep the traditions to keep the dynasty going. Dynasty, who has a dynasty here? Anyway, so, yeah.
Simba, I have a question I asked the Gurudev, like regarding my son's shedding of hair. He said, follow the tradition. I mean, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
21 days, just 3 months, 6 months, whatever family tradition you have. So then, can I assume that Simba tradition, if we have 13 days, should we do that? I mean,
that was my point. I answered the same way that he asked. You follow whatever your tradition is, and it's not that one is right, one is wrong.
But you take away the ritualistic stuff and just...
Well, no. If you go with, if you forget about chanting, then it's all useless.
I would replace it with just chanting. Oh.
Well, it's good to, because the families will disrespect if you don't follow your tradition.
You follow that, but I guess...
Add the chanting.
Like...
And don't bring in a karmic... Like I was in Fiji, and there was a funeral... And they brought in a priest. He was actually quite nice. He was actually respected, and he was doing Vaishnava things. You're one of the legal pundits there, and he was doing nice. But then his boss came in, who was definitely not a Vaishnava or had anything to do with it. And his boss sort of contaminated the whole atmosphere. Anyway, I won't mention the boss. But he was the head of the pundit Saha, you know, whatever it is, the pundit group there in Fiji. Brahmin Sabha. And so, pundit, you know, you have legal pundits there. And so, what happened is he sort of like stopped, the good guy stopped his, you know, Vaishnav stuff and offered obeisances to, well, Mr. Sharma was his name. Anyway, and he came in and he just basically polluted the atmosphere with, you know, just rituals or personalism or something like that. Because he wasn't respecting Vaishnava. And he looked like a mess, too, you know. Hadn't combed his hair, you know. You see, ever seen these pundits? It looked like a mess. The one we were using was actually quite nice. He was a very nice person. So, if you're going to have a pundit, make sure he's at least respectful of the Vaishnava tradition. And it should be Vaishnava. It shouldn't be just ritualistic demigod worship or anything like that. If your tradition is demigod worship, don't do it. Parents, yeah.
Not so called Krishna conscious in us, and they are more concerned. One of them passes away, and they are, I won't lose anything because I just won't lose anything.
Well, you do them in a Vaishnava way.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of said to them. And they're
so
like,
then the question that would be, you do 30 days?
Yeah,
30
days. What I'm saying, that the question I'm running home is into the Pindadan.
Yeah.
That is, should we do that?
Yeah. According to Vaishnava tradition. You can do pinda according to Vaishnava tradition. Like in the non-Vaishnava tradition, sometimes you even have meat in the pindadan. But obviously we're not going to serve meat to people. You know, there's a non-Vaishnava tradition. There's all sorts of illicit things that go on, too.
It's like tradition followed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to bed.
To the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in Gaya. So we do follow, you know, whether it's 13 days or 21 days, whatever the family tradition. And on the anniversary, the six-month anniversary, the year anniversary, you know, you do it. Just like I have some disciples who are from South India, and they have elaborate traditions in South India. I mean, they change the Brahmin thread from one side to the other, and then back again. Yeah, and then they feed the Brahmanas, you know. Yeah, but they do it much more elaborately in South India. And so that's nice. I mean, the tradition should be followed. But things that are opposed to Krishna consciousness, they don't have to be followed.
together with the religion.
Yeah, but if it comes down to something like Mayavadi or worship of demigods, don't do it.
I guess our tradition with my dad is it's pretty Sanatan way, and everything that is just I said I'll have a Hare Krishna Pandit.
Yeah, you have a Hare Krishna Pandit. I mean, we got plenty of ritualistic.
In the Vaishnava way, and he'll do the everything that will be done, but it will be done by him.
Yeah, I mean, we have plenty of ritualistic devotees in our movement.
Yeah, that's not a problem. The only reason I do it so that everybody else is happy that...
No, we should do it.
Yeah.
We should follow the tradition. I mean, it's like when my father passed away, we followed his particular tradition, which wasn't Krishna conscious, but we didn't do anything illicit or anything like that. It was, you know, you adjust according to the tradition, because otherwise people will think that we have no culture.
Yeah.
In Puran, it's less than Puran and Manusamhita, it is mentioned. They do certain things.
Yeah. I mean, so we do that, but basically, because it's Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name is what's really effective for helping the person who has passed away. Most of the funeral stuff and everything else is done to help the people who are there right now rather than the person who passed away so that they'll feel better. You understand? Most of that is not for the person who passed away. But if you really want to help the person who passed away, it has to be something connected with chanting the Lord's holy names or pure devotional service or Vaishnava Seva, like that. So you should think like that. And I usually speak like that at the funeral. If you really want to help the person, this is what you should do. Other rituals can be there, but they're not really going to help the person that much. The chanting of the Lord's holy names is going to help the person. Or sponsoring some prasadam distribution, something like that will help the person. All right.
On that point, also, we noticed devotees take the ashes back to the other to put in the Ganges or the Yamuna.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is that essential? Or
that's good, because the person actually gets. I mean, there's that whole story of Bhagirath, you know. He took the sons of Sagara, were actually killed because they offended Lord Kapiladeva, and that was the main reason he brought the Ganges down to the earth planet to liberate the sons of Sagara. Yeah, it helps the person. Oh, sure. Like putting tulsi leaf in the mouth, chanting the holy names, or putting tulsi branches around the body when there's the cremation. All these are proper Vaishnava. We follow the Vaishnava tradition.
Yeah.
I mean, when my father died, I wanted to take the ashes to the Ganges, but they wouldn't let me. They wanted to keep it in the living room. Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. I was told, well, he should be surrounded by the things he loves. I was thinking, you know, him, ashes? My father's not the ashes, and certainly ashes don't have eyes to be aware.
No longer him,
so it's kind of wild. And of course, the Western tradition is always you keep the body around, and you put it in the grave, and then, you know, you go visit the grave, and he's there. You know, it's just wild.
Is it appropriate? Normally, what happens here is half because of the 13-day rituals. I think the 10-day rule. They often sect that this person water, and the other half they take it to India. Is that appropriate?
Take water? What?
On the second day, I think.
They should take the whole thing to the Ganges.
Well, because for the rituals to happen over here, you have to
do it within 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
Within 10 days, it's mentioned in the Puranas.
Within 10 days, but you know, but that was when people were living by the bank of the Ganges.
Mm.
You know, who's. You got to be practical. I mean, if I had a choice with one of my family members, which I usually don't have that choice, because they object to what I want to do. But if I had a choice, I would just keep all the ashes and put them in the Ganges. Even if it took like 6 months. I mean, I've seen devotees wait 6 months. We just recently had a devotee die in New Vrindavan, not New Vrindavan, Florida, because of a car accident, and they waited. I think it was a few months, and I was there at the immersion of the ashes in the Ganges. And they waited a few months before doing it. I mean, of course, you also have to respect local custom.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, people are going to get upset if you don't do it. That's another thing. But even let's say even with when Dasarath passed away, I mean, he was kept in oil for a long time. You know, they didn't cremate him immediately either. So there's adjustment because Bart wasn't there. And so Bart had to be called from the province of Kekaya. And Bart came back, and it must have taken like a month or so. And they preserved his body in oil, and then they had the cremation after that and the funeral. So they actually waited like a month before the funeral.
It is said in the Quran, it said the very day you count it from is the day you disperse the ashes.
They, you do what?
You put the ashes into the ocean.
Yeah.
That day is the first day.
That's the first day. Anyway, so there are adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. I mean, they're preserving the body for a whole month. I mean, who would do that? Because you're supposed to really have the funeral before the sunset the next day. But they did it, and that was Dasarath, and they wouldn't do anything wrong because they were following Dharma. So there's adjustments according to time, place, and circumstance. In any case, we don't want to aggravate people. You know, you have to take a little sprinkle of the ashes and do something here, do it. I mean, it's not going to... It's not that the person's going to become divided, his head's going to remain there. And the rest of the body will be in the Ganges, you know.
Can I just make a small comment on that point when Jagatthaka Maharaj was here?
Yeah.
He said, you only need a small amount of ashes to bring
for the Ganges.
You don't have to bring the whole amount. Because he talked about the devotees were bringing the whole amount. He said, you only need a small
amount. Yeah, you only need a small
amount of ashes.
Then you take all of mine. Yeah.
Now, like we are saying that Yamuna, they're putting the sea of water in the Yamuna?
Yeah, so you don't go to Vrindavan and put the ashes in the Yamuna.
If we go to the Ganges.
Nor you go to Yamunotri. If you want to put the ashes in Yamuna, you go to Yamunotri, where the Yamuna comes from. But you don't go to Vrindavan, it's all Delhi sewage water. I said that to one of my godbrothers, his mother just died, and he said, I'm going to Vrindavan to put the ashes in the Yamuna. I said, don't do it. Because it's not the Yamuna. It's not a drop of Yamuna water there anymore.
Not even a drop.
Not even a drop. There's two dams upstream from Delhi, and all the water is being diverted to the industries and some to agriculture. I had some of my disciples went up the stream bed, and they actually took pictures of themselves walking on the Yamuna bed. After the dam. And they were just walking. You know, just not a drop. It was completely dry. So, so go either Yamunotri or you can go to Gangotri or Mayapur is good.
All this time that I've been waiting in the Yamuna is going to waste.
Well, luckily you didn't get sick because there's a lot of people in the hospital now because of that. You got to be real careful.
No,
we're working. Actually, it's one of the projects I'm working on right now, with this actually one of the biggest groups in Barshana. His name is Ramesh Baba. I don't know if you heard of his name before, but I'm working with him directly. I just went. We had a discussion on it to try to involve ISKCON in these protests against what's happening, so we can get the Yamuna back. In the past, he was instrumental in preventing the mountains of Braj from being destroyed by the mining companies. He was successful in that, yeah. Very successful. He's a very interesting person. He's not part of ISKCON, but he's working with us. And he's very friendly with me and with Radhanath Maharaj and some of the other sannyasis in ISKCON. So what happened is that he was protesting against all these mining companies because they were actually like using dynamite and taking apart the hills of Braj, which are all considered sacred. And because he was doing this against the industrialists, they were shooting at him. You know, many nights they were shooting at his place on the top of Barshana, bullets flying by. And one time someone came and gave him poisoned food in the name of Mahaprasad. And luckily, he didn't die, but he was such a great saintly person that he invited the person who gave him poison for prasadam the next day. Not to poison that person in return, but he invited him for prasadam, and that person apologized and became a great devotee after that point. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, you know, the Vaishnava forgiveness. Mm-hmm. So I very much appreciated that. So anyway, so he was successful, and now the next campaign is against the Jamuna being destroyed or polluted by the industries, because what you're getting is 100% Delhi runoff and sewage in the Jamuna bed right now. So take the ashes to the Ganges or Yamunotri, or we have the one devotee whose father just died, she's going up to Rishikesh or Haridwar to actually immerse the ashes there, which is fine. So I guess that's it. We think we have to end. Thank you all for rapt attention. And we'll see everybody later. Tonight we have take prasadam here. So it'll be the last night. And then I'm coming back next Tuesday.
For next week, am I quickly? So you're here Tuesday, next week?
Thursday I'm leaving.
Oh, you're leaving Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday dinner at Anshu's place again? They're going to get tired of me after a while. Tuesday, then you... Really, she wants to feed me so much. Morning classes on Wednesday. And maybe Thursday, because we're not leaving. Tuesday I'm arriving. Tuesday I'm arriving in the morning. And so Wednesday we have morning class. Thursday we'll have to say... No. Yeah, we'll have to see what the timing is.
Tomorrow
I'm leaving so early, before any of you get up in the morning. I'm having to drive myself to the airport. When?
Thursday, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Thursday. No, it's a little later than that. I leave here. Anyway, we'll figure it out next week. I can't think in advance that much. But tonight we'll have a small dinner here. I probably don't want to have millions of people come. And then we're going to visit Ananda today, right? What time, 4 o'clock? That's good. Does anyone have Neil Madhava's telephone number?
Yep.
Because he wanted to come see me today. And if you can call him and find out what time he's coming. Oh. So you already know that. He's coming at 1. Okay. That's all I need to find out. And this morning we're going over to Vandamali's place. He's going to call me first. Yeah, okay. Does he have my number? No. Yeah, I can give you the number. Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.